It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the New Testament, we are teaching today on an introduction to the New Testament. This is Introduction to the New Testament, Part 1. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, just as the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the explicit of the Old Testament, just as the Old Testament is the implicit of the New Testament. The Old Testament enfolds the New Testament, just as the New Testament unfolds the Old Testament. In this teaching, we will gain a comprehensive walkthrough of the entire New Testament, book by book, while viewing a snapshot of how the Old Testament and the New Testament connect together. It is important to always remember that both testaments are necessary for accurate doctrinal interpretation. A biblical principle is doctrinally sound as it is substantiated by both the Old Testament and the New Testament and undergirded with both co-testament scriptures. There are over 1,000 quotations and allusions from the Old Testament into the New Testament. When the authors of the New Testament were written, they were quoting the Old Testament. For example, when Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness by Satan, he quoted scripture against Satan. The scriptures read, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That scripture in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, is quoted in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. Jesus further said, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is a quotation from Matthew chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Jesus concluded in Matthew chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, by saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. This is a quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. Jesus Christ quoting the scriptures, when we read the New Testament, we are reading in context and in quotation the Old Testament. There are many that say that the Bible was written by man, but the Bible in its full context, Old Testament and New Testament, was written over the span of 1,500 years, written over the span with 40 authors, written over the span on 3 different continents, and it is humanly impossible for individuals to come together with this Bible, 1,500 years, 40 authors, 3 continents, speak to the fact that the Bible is divinely inspired, constructed by the Lord. Also, if man were to write the scriptures outside of the influence of God, then man would glorify himself in the scriptures. Mankind would speak of the great exploits of man. Mankind would speak of the greatness of man, the intellect of man, the wisdom of man, the strength of man. On the contrary, because the Bible is divinely inspired and God-authored, the Bible instead speaks about the glory of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and speaks in man as contrast of being fallen and in need of a Savior. The great exploits that are written in the Bible on behalf of man show that man could not have done those exploits without the power of God. This proves that God is the author and the inspiration of the scriptures, for he alone is exalted throughout the scriptures, and man is shown to be lost without God. The scriptures are perfect, the scriptures are complete, and the scriptures are without error. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 underscore the principle that the scriptures were written by the inspiration of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21 echo this principle, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The scriptures are written with the inspiration of God and are perfect, without error, without contradiction, and complete. The Bible was written by the finger of God through the inspiration of God. The Bible was written with the inspiration of God. The New Testament consists of 27 books. They were compiled by man through the Holy Spirit throughout the years and reached their culmination of being a New Testament approximately 127 AD. These particular books that we will study today as a summary were written decades before that, but came to their culmination of being compiled together early in the first century. The book of Matthew was written by Matthew the Apostle, approximately 37 AD, probably from Antioch or Judea. The key verse in Matthew is his genealogy in chapter 1 and the Great Commission in chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Also, Matthew 27, verse 37, where it says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as King and is the Gospel to the Jews. From the Jews came morals to society. Matthew presents the royal line of Jesus, teaches in parables, and teaches of the kingdom. Matthew uses the most Old Testament scripture of any of the Gospels. A major pivotal shift occurs in chapter 12 as Jesus is rejected as Messiah, and then the emphasis moves to his disciples, parables, and teaching on his death and resurrection. The Gospel of Mark was written by John Mark, a disciple, approximately 64 AD, probably from Rome. The key verses in the book of Mark are chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, and chapter 10, verses 43 through 45. The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as the perfect suffering servant and is the gospel to the Romans. From the Romans came our legal system to society. The servant character is displayed throughout the entire book, as the word straightway is used more times in Mark than all the gospels combined. The pivotal chapter is chapter 8, in which after Peter's confession of Christ, emphasis is now given to his disciples and teaching on his death and resurrection. The Gospel of Luke was written by Luke the disciple, the beloved physician, approximately 59 AD, probably from Macedonia. The key verses in the book of Luke are Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38, the genealogy, and Luke chapter 15, the chapter on the lost. The Gospel of Luke presents Jesus as the perfect man and is the gospel to the Greeks. From the Greeks came philosophies to society. Luke presents the legal bloodline of Jesus and teaches much on the friendship, compassion, and the neighborly Jesus. The difference between the genealogy of Matthew and the genealogy of Luke is that Matthew's genealogy teaches on the royal line of the Messiah, of Jesus, traces this royal line, this legal line, from Abraham through David, then through Solomon to Joseph, who is the legal father of Jesus. On the other hand, Luke, whose focus is on the humanity of Jesus, traces the bloodline of Jesus from Adam through David. The genealogy from Abraham through David is identical to Matthew, but after David, Luke takes a different path and traces the family tree through another son of David, the second surviving son of Bathsheba, Nathan, down through Heli, the father of Mary, the father-in-law of Joseph. This identifies both Jesus as having the authority to sit on the throne as the King of Kings, the royal line through Matthew, and the authority to sit on the throne as the perfect man through the bloodline of Luke. The Gospel of John was written by John the Apostle around 90 AD, probably from Ephesus. The key verses in John is John chapter 1, 1 through 5, speaking of another genealogy of Jesus Christ, speaking of his deity, how he is divine, how he has always been in existence. And John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31, which reads, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." The Gospel of John presents Jesus as divine and is the gospel to the world. John presents a multitude of I am statements that speak to the deity of Christ. Much of John is written in chronological order, and only 7 events common in John are found in the other gospels. John writes much on the Holy Spirit and the necessity of belief in Jesus Christ. So here in the first 4 Gospels, we have a distinction. For many people often ask, why should we have 4 Gospels and not just 1? Each Gospel presents Jesus Christ from a different vantage point than the other Gospel and has the opportunity to reach a particular individual from that vantage point. The Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as King, the Gospel to the Jews, where we get our morals. The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as the perfect suffering servant, is the Gospel to the Romans, and from the Romans came our legal system. The Gospel of Luke presents Jesus as the perfect man, is the Gospel to the Greeks, and from the Greeks came our philosophies to society. And the Gospel of John presents Jesus as divine and is the gospel to the world. The book of Acts was written by Luke, the disciple, approximately 62 AD, probably from Macedonia. The key verse in the book of Acts is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which speaks to the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon individuals and being witnesses throughout the earth. And Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which speaks to the day of Pentecost and the birth of the church through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transformed them into witnesses unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And speaking of the birth of the church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and those that have been baptized into the body of Christ are baptized by His Spirit. The book of Acts is often called the Acts of the Apostles, but also the Acts or Actions of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts is the actions of the early church. It details the birth, growth, and examples of the church and how the gospel of Jesus Christ began to be published throughout the world. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, approximately 57 AD from Corinth. The key verses are Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, and Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. The book of Romans is the ABCs of Christianity, the necessity of salvation for both Jews and Gentiles, and explains the doctrines of sin, justification, sanctification, practical living, salvation, and the future state of Israel. How Israel was blessed, how Israel is blessed, and how Israel will be blessed in the days when Christ shall return. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, approximately 56 AD from Ephesus. The key scriptures in 1 Corinthians are chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, and chapter 14, verse 26. The book of 1 Corinthians refutes sensualism and answers questions concerning marriage, spiritual gifts, sexual purity, the resurrection, Christian life, Christian conduct, and the priority of fruit before gifts and works. The Corinthian church was a church of many giftings and callings, but had no fruit, had no love, and had to be rebuked by Paul to go back to the biblical basics of purity and love. The book of 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, approximately 56 AD, probably from Philippi. Key chapters are 4, 6, and 11. It comforts those who repented from the rebukes and corrections of the first epistle, to give instructions concerning a true ministry, and to give instructions in collections, and to also vindicate Paul's apostleship, which was being challenged by others. The key verse in 2 Corinthians is chapter 12, verse 9, and speaks of His sufficiency, the sufficiency that God will be in comfort through sufferings, and the sufficiency of God to vindicate the ministry of Paul. The book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul, approximately 52 to 54 AD, probably from Antioch or Rome. The key verses in Galatians is chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 20 through 21, chapter 3, verse 21, and chapter 5, verse 1. The book of Galatians refutes legalism. It corrects backsliding churches that went back under the law and to teach true Christian conduct by walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. By teaching true Christian conduct, faith versus the law, and of course, justification by faith. The book of Galatians paints a picture of individuals that say they know Jesus Christ by evidence if they walk in the Spirit and produce fruit, or in contrast, by walking in the flesh and producing the works of the flesh. The book of Galatians was written to a group of churches found in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and decided to go back and trusting in works rather than walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, approximately 64 AD from Rome. Key scriptures in Ephesians are Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 and Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 10. The book of Ephesians refutes minimalism and explains the believer's position in Christ. It outlines who we were before salvation, who we are after salvation, and Christian conduct. It exalts the Christian in their place in Christ. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul, approximately 64 AD from Rome. The book of Philippians key verse is chapter 1, verse 4. The book of Philippians refutes traditionalism and commends the joy and unity of the Philippian church. The word joy is used 14 times in this epistle. The book of Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul, approximately 64 AD from Rome. The key verse in the book of Colossians is chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. The book of Colossians refutes intellectualism and speaks heavily against false philosophies while teaching Christian conduct. The book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, and the book of Colossians have key themes that distinct themselves for our teaching. Galatians refutes legalism, those that trust in do's and don'ts towards salvation. The book of Ephesians refutes minimalism, those that do not see themselves as being a person in Christ, exalted in Christ, and therefore can walk in the anointing of Christ, the joy of Christ, and the righteousness of Christ, and can overcome. And the book of Philippians refutes traditionalism, those that begin to put traditions over the scriptures. And the book of Colossians refutes intellectualism, those that trust in wisdom, those that trust in philosophies, those that trust in intellect. This is Introduction to the New Testament, Part 1. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray with me this prayer. Or if you have strayed away, I invite you to pray this prayer. This prayer will change your life. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.